Hey, everybody, you are listening to my manic midday monologue. Thank you very much for clicking play or for downloading this podcast from Podbean or iTunes. It means a lot to me that you'd want to listen to my rants and raves about my artistic adventures and activities as a creative type in downtown Phoenix. Looking back upon the previous week's projects and plugging stuff I have coming up, and there is a lot of stuff coming up, but before I could dive into that, I'd be remiss not to talk about something that happened in the comic book industry this past month between my last podcast and this. You know, it seems like I'm only recording podcasts now when somebody passes away, and 2016 is a year that's going to go down in the history books, I think, as one shrouded in death, specifically when it comes to icons in the entertainment industry. Of course, we all know about David Bowie, Glenn Frey, Prince. The comic book industry was recently touched by this phenomenon as well with the passing of Darwin Cook. Now, Darwin Cook isn't a household name like Stan Lee or perhaps even Frank Miller, but even if you're just a casual observer of comic book media, you've seen Darwin's work. He was a pivotal contributor to the design work that went into Batman Beyond, the animated series. He was one of the designers for that. And I think he even created the intro or the titles sequence to Batman Beyond. He either storyboarded it or animated it himself. And so if you ever watched an episode of Batman Beyond, you're familiar with Darwin Cook. But also, if you appreciate Catwoman's cat-eyed goggles costume that's kind of become her look in the new millennium, he had a hand in that design big time. He helped relaunch the Catwoman title with much success. He told some amazing stories in The Spirit, another series that DC relaunched thanks to Darwin under his watchful eye and dutiful pen. He was the writer and artist for an amazing Justice League story called The New Frontier, which was extremely influential and has been and continue to and will continue to be influential in my own mini comic book series, Amazing Arizona Comics, which satirizes Arizona culture, history, and news with superhero adventure. Darwin understood the potential of comic books as a satirical work and as a historical reference point. And The New Frontier takes DC Comics history, specifically the transition from the Golden to the Silver Age, that late 50s, early 60s, Korean War, post-World War II, post-Leave It to Beaver era, pre-civil rights, right on the cusp of that stuff, JFK, space race. He takes all of that stuff and he tells an amazing superhero epic with DC's best characters, of course, Superman, Batman, but then he adds a new dimension to Hal Jordan's Green Lantern and The Flash and Adam Strange and Martian Manhunter. And it's a great story, one of my all-time favorites. It was adapted as a direct-to-video, if that's even such a thing anymore, maybe more of a digital release or direct-to-DVD, I don't know, a feature-length animated film. It was released as that as well, adapting the New Frontier graphic novel. So that is to say that Darwin's work has impacted us all in a way, whether you know his name or not. And I'm just talking about the superhero stuff. Forget about the crime noir he loved. Forget about those beautiful adaptations of Richard Stark's Parker series, which can truly be called graphic novels in that they are designed to look like amazing novels in which the story is told with graphic sequential illustrations and narrative. It's amazing work. I mean, I'm just almost choking over the words I should be using to describe it. But he truly took that term graphic novel and gave it a new definition, almost created a new frontier for it. No pun intended. Yes, it was. But, so Darwin passed away from cancer, and it made me look at and evaluate and analyze the way we as a society, as an American culture, the way we've been eulogizing and mourning our dead specifically when it comes to these icons, Prince and Bowie. I keep going back to the music industry, but there have been so many other actors and artists that have passed away this year, too. Those are just kind of the linchpins, the easy references, if you will. But yeah, man, we've added a stage of grief in the grieving process. You know, there are very definitive stages, and we've added this kind of communal social media networking stage. The knee-jerk reaction to news of a celebrity's passing, our need to join the conversation, to create a definitive statement of our own that expresses our own appreciation of that artist's work. And at first, I looked at it skeptically and with some bitterness and cynicism, but, you know, the more it becomes a part of the process, the more I guess I'm accepting that this is the way we will, as a nation, as a human race, talk about death in the future. It's going to be an immediate conversation where we validate our love of the artist in the wake of their passing. And, you know, it has nothing to do with the artist. I could tell you how amazing Glenn Frey was, but that doesn't make him any more amazing. I'm doing that for me to alleviate the valve of my own grief, you know, my own mourning. And so when it came to Darwin Cook, somebody whose passing affected me, he died of cancer, something that has affected us all. My beautiful lady Randy is a cancer survivor. My aunt passed away from cancer. So many friends affected by it. I felt like I had to do something, but I'm not the type to jump on Facebook and say something direly serious and then monitor the likes to determine if my seriousness was truly conveyed. That's just not me. I had to do something, so Ash Avenue Comics was nice enough to host me. Drew, the store proprietor there, was kind enough to extend some hospitality and let me do this Sketching to Screw Cancer event. I did it the Wednesday immediately following Darwin's passing, and it was cathartic for me. It was a way to kind of close my mourning period and then just move forward into a perpetual phase of celebration for Darwin's work, knowing that it's all still out there for me to enjoy. But Sketching to Screw Cancer was a chance to raise a couple bucks to donate to the American Cancer Society, a cause that I believe in, that I've worked with before, that I trust. And so for like 3 or 4 hours, I sat there. I took sketches and commissions, did some quick drawings for people, raised about 76 bucks. You know, I probably would have been drawing anyway, so why not do something that makes me feel good in the shadow of something that was making me feel so terrible? And it was a great afternoon, so my sincere thanks to Ash Avenue Comics. You know, as these celebrities are passing and I'm observing the way we react, I'm trying to glean something. I'm trying to learn something. From Prince, I learned that, first of all, I have a lot of friends that loved Prince and apparently always have. I just didn't know it. Perhaps I've been oblivious to their ongoing admiration for the Purple One. But when he died, like I said, a lot of people jumped on Facebook. That's how they learned of his passing and immediately expressed their sadness over it. And so for me, what I learned from Prince's death was, if there's an artist I love, I want my friends to know that this work is out there and available, so perhaps they can enjoy it while that artist is still alive and have a moment of connection with that artist, as I did with, say, the Monkees. I met each of them individually over the course of a few years and had a chance to say thank you. That's a huge part of who I am now, not just the work that they gave me in my youth, but the fact that as an adult, I was able to meet them and articulate my gratitude. So I'm learning that from Prince's passing, that if you love an artist, share the work. Of course, if they're no longer with us, still do, but if they're with us, even more so, because it's a chance to contribute in a meaningful way that maybe even the artist will appreciate, not to mention the fans you may bring to him or her. But from Darwin Cook's passing, perhaps, do something is the lesson. Darwin was a doer. He had ideas. He put pen to paper. He created stories. That's just the kind of guy he was. He was also very outspoken about his opinions of the trends in the superhero genre specifically. You can go on YouTube and hear him talk a lot about the way he felt about modern superhero tropes and what DC and Marvel specifically have been doing with these characters. So in that spirit of doing something, being proactive with your perspective, your worldview, your feelings, I thought, well, why not do this thing to honor him and again, it does nothing for him personally or specifically. It's exclusively for me to feel better in the shadow of that grief. But at the same time, it adds a meaning to his passing for me so that I can move through the grief and, again, get into that celebration where I can look at his work on my shelf and not feel sad, but feel like, hey, that's always going to be there. And thank you, Darwin, for always being there with this work. Whew, again, man, it's been a heavy year for this stuff. We need some jokes. I mean, it's just one passing after another. Fortunately, I've had so many projects on my plate that it helps keep me busy and remind me of how much fun this stuff is, always has been, and hopefully always will be. You know, let's talk about the comic book store for a minute, just in general. What is the comic book store? It's a place, of course, where people go to buy comics, just as a wedding is, of course, the process through which one removes weeds from one's garden. Of course, we all know that. So the comic book store is a place where you go to buy comics. But as I look at my calendar, I see a lot of events at or around comic book stores in the near future that actually have very little to do with comic books traditionally, comic books proper. And that only makes sense because when you think about the way comic books lately have influenced pop culture in general, superhero characters becoming movie stars, basically, the inspiration for blockbuster feature films, incredible TV series. And of course, you have all the franchising rights alone, lunchboxes and toys and whatever, clothes. You know, the comic book store is, in essence, the touchstone, the hub of pop culture activity in any given community, in their community. This is the place you can go to find out what's cool. Doctor Who stuff, supernatural stuff. Those are niche or genre franchises that haven't sprung from comic books per se, but they certainly have influenced and been influential in the comic book industry. So you go to the comic book store and you grab that stuff. And so when I look at my calendar and I see events that aren't necessarily affiliated with comic books traditionally, but these events are happening at comic book stores, it's completely not surprising to me. The comic book store should be, one, the place you go to buy comics, but two, the place where you go to appreciate related culture to comics. The celebration of storytelling, for example. This Friday night, I'll be at Ash Avenue Comics, once again, in Tempe, ASU campus adjacent, telling a story at Untidy Secrets, a storytelling and zine swap series. It happens every final Friday at Ash Avenue Comics, and this will be my third time participating, so I really hope I'm not overstaying my welcome, but they've been very kind in letting me participate. The organizer, Sarah, picks a theme. Storytellers ask if they could jump in and weave a yarn about that theme, inspired by that theme, and folks gather to hear these stories at a comic book store. It's super cool, man, and again, I'm honored to be a part of it. It's every final Friday, so if you're in the Phoenix area, I would strongly suggest you check this thing out because it's so much fun. And, you know, the best part about something like that is if somebody attends that doesn't normally read comics, but they're fans of story, they glance over at a comic book and see a cover that catches their eye, they buy an issue. Man, what an outreach. It's like you're doing evangelistic work for the comic book industry there, Ash Avenue. So thank you for doing that. But yeah, thinking about why at this comic book store would you have such an event? Well, that's why. Because comic books are, among many other things, a celebration of visual storytelling. That's what this event encourages. And that's what I'm honored to be a part of in many ways. And it's happening at Ash Avenue this Friday. Now, what else is going on? That's Friday. On Saturday, I'll be at what I can only describe as a writer's circus. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of this event. It's like Cirque. Well, I guess I am going to try to pronounce it. It's like Cirque du Livre or something like that. It's a writer's circus, meaning that there are several proverbial rings of performance, you know, like a three-ring circus. But these rings are actually venues along downtown Mesa's Main Street. My friend Bob Nelson is a longtime organizer of events in Phoenix and Mesa, and he's put together this thing where attendees can check out a series of workshops led by some of the Valley's best and brightest artists, writers, and creative types. Somehow I'm in that mix. I'm not saying I am one of those. I'm not giving myself any of those distinctions pretentiously, but I am honored to be among those that I admire that are also facilitating workshops. And it's all day. It's actually all weekend. I'll be there all day Saturday teaching three workshops. One about time management. Let's see if I have any time to put that together. Another about incorporating reality into your fantasy, inspired, of course, by my passion of politics in superhero comics. And then the other is about how to adapt a superhero story into film. That's less my experience in that regard, because I have none, and more my opinion on how films are succeeding or failing in that regard. But it should be a great day. And again, among the Main Street stops in Mesa, you have Gotham City Comics. So this writer's conference is comic book shop adjacent, and a lot of these events are happening inside of Gotham. So another great way for a comic book store to be influential in its community when it contributes to not just comic book arts, but the arts in general. So my admiration to Gotham, I'm looking forward to appearing there. That'll be the third comic book store that I do an appearance in this month. Thanks to Drawn to Comics Free Comic Book Day at the beginning of the month, Ash Avenue hosting me for Sketching to Screw Cancer, and now this. So, wow, that makes me feel cool. It makes me feel like I got some cred. That's Saturday. And then Sunday, the Wasted Ink Zine Distro's Craft Fair. My lovely lady Randy and I will be setting up there. Randy etches mirrors in glass, as forever etched mirrors in glass. Find them on Facebook. And It's super cool. I've watched her do it now a dozen times, and I'm still a little baffled by the process, the creativity, the ingenuity that goes into it. But she and I are kind of starting this tour, if you will, this etches and sketches tour, where she's going to obviously push her mirrors, and I'm going to push my comics and draw for people like I always do. We're going to do it alongside each other, pulling together our resources, of course, keeping each other company. Looking forward to doing that, and this craft fair is kind of the soft launch as we go into the summer looking for more venues to exhibit it together. And so we're going to be doing that, and the event is to raise funds for the Phoenix Zine Fest happening in October. The proprietors there of the Wasted Ink Zine Distro, these young ladies have taken it upon themselves finally to bring a great zine show to the Valley. Long overdue, in my opinion, as I fondly remember in my late adolescence walking Mill Avenue there in Tempe next to the ASU campus, picking up zines practically right off the street. People were making them, and all kinds of zines too, anarchist zines, Christian poetry, comics, political stuff, just cultural stuff, fluff. It was fantastic. Almost a golden age of zines in the 90s, you know? The era of the mixed tape and grunge and cutting and pasting before a computer could do it for you. I miss those days, and these ladies are keeping that stuff alive with Wasted Ink, and they're having a craft fair, raising some money to get a show here. So, I'm excited to be a part of that fundraiser so Phoenix could be a part of that scene. And I think that's the last of my plugs for the weekend. I'd be remiss also not to mention that every Thursday night now I host karaoke at a cowboy bar in far north Phoenix, and it's a blast. I might dedicate a whole podcast to the experience of being a karaoke host, because it's one of those things that's been on my bucket list for a while. And now that I'm doing it, it's definitely a mixed bag. I definitely love it, but it's not without challenge, and it's a lot of fun to take those challenges head on, because I've always just been on, you know, the bar patrons' side of the mic. Now as the facilitator, it's a different kind of evening entirely, but again, something I would do anyway. Now I get to make a couple of bucks while doing it, so that is the dream, isn't it? We live in the age of dreams, so hopefully yours are becoming a reality. What a flighty note to end this podcast on. But you know what? We were talking about death so much. Why not? Why not say that we live in an era nowadays with this technology at your fingertips that anything you imagine can basically happen? You need only find the time to do it. And that brings us back to my time management workshop as well. But yeah, if you could find a few spare minutes, you need only press record on your phone to have a podcast. You need only draw on your tablet to have a comic strip, a webcomic. You need only shoot some footage with your phone or tablet to become a YouTube, Instagram, or Snapchat sensation, instant celebrity, so that perhaps when you pass away, hopefully a long time from now, people will be looking at your work with the same wonder at which we look at the work of Prince or Darwin Cook. Let's end on that note. You could find me on Instagram at AmazingAZComics. You could find my comic at AmazingArizonaComics.com. If you jump on YouTube and look for Phoenix Tonight, the Valley's live local late-night talk show, you'll see another one of these things I find time to do, and also Karaoke Fanboy Press. That's the YouTube channel where I do a lot of stupid stuff, like reenact the end of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice with action figures, or sing the monkeys in my car and record it. You could find all of that on YouTube. Thanks for finding this podcast, and I'll catch you next time on My Manic Midday Monologue.